Hey, welcome to another episode of the Market Adventures Podcast. It's your host, Alex Cunningham, and I have something for you today. Something you're going to want to start doing today. What I have for you is an opportunity. I'm not here to sell you anything, and I don't want your money, but I do want your attention for a second. So take your time and put down whatever you're doing and just listen to me. What we have to talk about today is time. And I've said this many times in the show, but I have to say it again. Time is one of the greatest equalizers, right? Time is one of the great equalizers. We have a huge opportunity right now because we have time. Whether you're 16 or 60 listening to this show, this is particularly true in a world where of investing where the returns can become exponential. But the exponential potential can only be released through experience. Sure, someone with no experience can get rich off of one investment, but that's not a release of the potential. What I mean is this. The more you see and experience, the better you get at being prepared should those events happen again. Right? The greatest thing about the stock market, given that fact, is that the stock market is cyclical. It repeats in an almost predictable pattern. And even if the timing becomes less predictable, there's almost always some other time in history to compare that particular event with. This ability to juxtapose time periods and events in history gives a student of the stock market a great advantage. So now that I've given you that backdrop, right, you're probably wondering what's going to be worth millions of dollars and why do I have to start now? Well, here it is. Your experience, recorded and tested, is going to be worth millions of dollars. Now, the best way to take advantage of this is by keeping a stock market journal. Now, for you, the investor, you will greatly benefit by having precedence to influence your actions. For instance, inflation reports showed this and they did that, right? The market did this in response to the inflation reports. The prolonged inflation reports, the resurgence of inflation reports. What does the market do when each of those events happen? Let's say this economic report that was given out, right? Housing numbers, GDP, consumer confidence, maybe an earnings report for one of the big tech companies or one of the big value companies. What did those events result in? And what time of year was it? Was that time of year that the earnings come out and they were good and it was late in the year? Was it Q3 of the year? What happened? Q4? Now, when you get to that point, right, you'll start feeling the time of year and the movements of the market. Your journal will help serve as a guide. Now, imagine this, right? You're bowling, and while you're bowling, you also have the bumpers up on the side, like the kids do. Now, you're responding and bowling according to the pins you have, right? You're responding to the market, and you're trading and investing according to what you see in front of you. But your past experience in the form of the journal, is keeping your actions in line with your target. So let's say in September, you're doing some trades, and you're doing some trades from the long side, but you know that September is very volatile. Maybe you're not staying in trades as long. Maybe going more short-term with your trades. Maybe you're taking every rip or every advance or rally, and you're selling call options into the rally because you know that September is going to be a bearish month this year. Or maybe you're buying puts and you're buying them when the market is up so you can get them a little bit cheaper because you know September is bearish this time of year. Whatever. But you'll get a feel, and as you begin to trade and invest in certain parts of the year that you figured kind of the movements of the market, you may trade against what you've written on the paper, but that paper, right, that journal, keeps you making sure that you're keeping an eye on the trade, or maybe you're going more short term on the trade if it's going against what you've seen in the past. Why? I mean, you've probably gotten this by now, but why is a journal worth millions? Well, a million is just a number. And as I'm using it right now, it's only there to represent an increased value from what you have right now. Now, in the book, Richest Man in Babylon, I want you to choose the clay tablet, right, with the wisdom, and not the bags of gold, right? If you've done this for a few years, that is keeping track of what you see in the market and how the market is responding and how you're responding, and you just so happen to keep a record And, you know, you keep a, again, you keep a record of the results, right, and responses, then you can begin to make your returns each year and each month more regular, because now you can almost anticipate what's going to happen, right? And you'll be able to increase your trade size, your investing size, how much money you're willing to risk per trade, because you have a lot more confidence, right? You've seen this before. This all looks familiar. You can almost, with a level of certainty, maybe it's 70% or 80% certainty that this kind of report is going to lead to this happening in the market, or this kind of global event is going to lead to this type of result in the market. And even if you're not 100%, because you can't guess the future, you should never pretend like you can. If it's only 70% of the time, that means 7 years out of 10, you're going to do well. That means, I don't want to say 7 months out of 12, because that's not the correct math. But, you know, the majority of the months, you're going to do well, because you're hitting at a good batting average and you have historical precedence to back your decisions. Now, this September alone, there are a lot of things that you could have taken from it. Let's just start with a few. You have China's largest builder, Evergrande, defaulting on debt, right? Several hundred billion dollars of debt. And that created a lot of fear in the global markets. Now, people are worried about what major banks are going to be caught in the meltdown. And is it really over? Because after the initial meltdown, the market kind of rocketed up when I think they were doing something with regards to the notes and paying some of them and offering this, you know, I don't even know, to be honest with you. It's a mess, and the news that's coming out and, you know, China's involvement in bailing them out, and they're not bailing them out. It's a lot of stuff, but that's the stuff that you can pay attention to, because guess what? It's going to happen again. Think about 2008 crisis, when we had to bail out all these different companies, Lehman Brothers being one of the big companies that melted down. This isn't the same exact thing, but if you've lived through 2008, you kind of saw how things were building up and saw the result. If you're living now in 2021, you may not be able to connect it, you know, one for one with Lehman Brothers. But what you can say is the last time we had this meltdown of this magnitude, this is what I felt. And either I feel it now and I got to act, or I don't feel it at all and this is just a one-off. Another event that's pretty important, right? The U.S. debt ceiling reaching a climax this week as we approach the end of the fiscal year, right? You have Democrats fighting over things. You have Republicans. You have, you have the Fed and the Fed chair, the treasurer. You have the president saying this. You have vaccinations that they're trying to push across. You have all these things that are happening, particularly in September, as people are getting to vote on things as the end of the year is approaching. You also have rapidly rising U.S. bond yields, which, you know, could mean a number of things. But then you also have the impending Federal Reserve tapering, right, which is them slowing down their buying of bonds, right, slowing down putting money into the system, which was initially done because COVID obviously messed up the system a little bit. So they were putting money in to kind of keep things afloat. And they're planning on slowing down how much money they're putting in and eventually stopping it. So September's got a lot, right? September's got a lot, and it was already a historically volatile month. And now you added all this extra pressure on it as well. So this is all stuff you can write down. Is it going to be helpful in October? Maybe not. December? Maybe not. January, February, March, April, May, June, July? Probably not. August? Probably not. But next September? Hell yeah, this stuff could be really important. And even if it's not important in September 2022, maybe September 2025, this would be helpful. And you guys got to remember why you're doing this. I don't want you to feel like you're going to take notes in September and then October, you're going to feel great. You're going to feel like you're master of the markets. It's like, no, the future you will have a powerful weapon. And if you can't do something for the future you, then you'll never be able to live the dreams that you want, because that future you needs things to work with. Like, the future you needs weapons. It needs discipline. It needs something to work off of. And in the stock market, your recorded experience, right, to use in the future will help you generate future wealth for you and your family. So, I mean, what do I plan to do with my journal? I'm going to give it to my children and my family. Imagine my son or my daughter is 18 years old and they open this book and it's got 40 to 50 years worth of stock market knowledge at their fingertips. Not only are they going to have the wealth from my work, but they'll be able to create their own wealth and pass the skill down for generations in the Cunningham family. Just like the Walmart family, right? And their wealth, how they just pass down the ownership of the company to the children, and the children never have to worry about not being wealthy because Walmart's not going to run out of money and their name's always going to be out of the building, right? So too will the Cunningham family do with the wisdom of many lifetimes, right? We're not passing on gold or not passing on money down generations, even though they'll have access to that. We're passing on the clay tablets. We're passing on the wisdom for many lifetimes because I want people with my last name and other related family to feel not just that they're covered, but they're empowered with the power that is the ability to use the stock market in a comfortable and proven and experienced way. So let me know what you think. If you're having trouble getting started, I can help you out. Just go to Market Adventures website or DM me on any of the socials. This has been your host, Alex Cunningham, saying be well. And remember, as you begin searching for answers to life's challenges, don't seek security. Seek adventure.